Just want to give you a little commercial on the front end of the sermon. I've been preaching through the book of Philippians on Sunday night. Tonight I'll wrap that up. And then next Sunday night, unless something happens to change my mind, I'll begin some series of messages on marriage and family. How to have a strong marriage, how to have a strong family. And I hope that'll be a blessing to you as well. If you have a copy of God's Word, and I pray that you do, open it up there to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, the title of the message is Satan's Plan for Clear Fork. Satan's Plan for Clear Fork, there in Matthew chapter 16. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to do the cardinal sin of preaching. I'm going to read from one part of Scripture, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn you to another part. Amen. But I'm going to read this just to give you some background. Then we'll go over to the book of Acts. So when you find Matthew 16, in honor of God's Word, please stand. And Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. If you got your Bible or an iPad or a tablet or whatever, you're looking at God's Word, that's absolutely perfectly okay. Matthew chapter 16, I'll start there with verse 13. The Bible says this, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. May you bless it to our hearts. And Father, we're so grateful that you founded the church upon yourself. Father, we just pray this morning as I go over this sermon that you've given me, that we'd all be aware of Satan's plan for our church and how we're going to fight it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for a great week of Bible school. It's wonderful to see some of those kids here with us this morning and their families. And forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And you may be turning to the book of Acts as I give the introduction. And here in the Gospel of Matthew, we read Jesus speaking of the church. Now, the word church is ecclesia in the Greek, and it means a group of called out people. A church is a congregation of baptized believers in Christ, equal in rank and privileges, who are voluntarily united in the belief of what he has taught, and who have come together to do what he has commanded in extending his ordinances and carrying out his gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen. That is what the church is. You see, the God we serve is a God of order, and many times we have heard that God has a plan for our lives. If you've seen Billy Graham preach on TV or maybe in person, he always included that in his message. He'd say, God has a plan for your life. Amen. We know God has a plan for our life. He has a plan for everybody's life. God also has a plan for our church here at Clear Fork. And if you're visiting with us, God has a plan for the church where you are a member of as well. As the book of Esther states in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, we are here for this time and for a certain purpose. But what we sometimes forget is that for everything that God does, Satan tries to copy. Satan tries to copy, and if we're not careful, we'll get the wrong plan. Always remember, an unbelief about Satan is only one step away from not believing God. And so with the message title this morning, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but rather an issue, a warning to be watchful. Anytime a church tries to get moving for Jesus, hell takes notice. And it's amazing the challenges and the problems and the issues that come up when a body of believers is trying to advance for Jesus. The book of Acts in the New Testament is the history of the church, and what started as a handful of disciples grew into the greatest movement of God in the history of the world that's still moving today. Still moving today. And so the early church grew and was successful because of prayer. And because they prayed, they had power, and that power came from the Holy Spirit. So if we want the power of the early church, we must learn to pray like the early church. Amen. Amen? But folks, Satan hates it when we pray. Oh, he hates it when we pray. And if he cannot stop us from praying, then he will begin to attack. And it usually happens in three different areas of our church. Sometimes all at once, or maybe just a little bit at a time. And sometimes through a single person or perhaps a large group. But understand, the attack is always coming. Amen? So be ready. It's always coming. Satan's plan for Clear Fork has three areas. And the first one is this. Satan will try to silence the gospel. He'll try to silence the gospel. Go over there to chapter 4 in the book of Acts. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 for you. And I'll be in Acts 4 and Acts 5 and Acts 6. And I'm just going to read a little bit of each chapter to bring these points out to you. That happened in the early church, folks. And it's happening today. And it'll continue to happen until the Lord comes back. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. It says in my Schofield Bible, the first persecution. It says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Satan will try to silence the gospel. You see, Peter and John were thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. The world, listen, this world hates Jesus. This world hates his very name and hates him for his resurrection. The whole world system is a hate group against Jesus Christ and his church. If you want to know a hate group, it's the world against the church. That's why Satan tries to silence the gospel. And once and for all, God told Satan, "You are wrong." And ever since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel has been under constant attack. Ever since Jesus came out of that tomb, the religious leaders here in Acts chapter 4, there in Jerusalem, they were upset about two things. And it's no different today. When Satan tries to silence the gospel, he's going to try to attack two areas. The first one is where you preach. Not much will be done as long as we stay inside our church buildings and we have church. But listen, the moment we step outside and try to take the gospel to this dying world, hell takes notice. Hell takes notice, ladies and gentlemen. It's simply not enough that our church name is out in the community. The church people have to be out in the community. Jesus said we're to go into the highways and hedges and beg them to come in. Peter and John were seen there preaching in the temple, and the Jewish leaders were furious. They were absolutely livid. They had them arrested and they had them put in jail. You see, they had healed a lame man there in the name of Jesus at the gate as they were entering the temple. And now they were preaching salvation in the name of Jesus. You see, the devil tries to silence the gospel, and he tries to silence where we preach. He also tries to silence what we preach. Have you ever noticed something about people in mixed company? When spiritual issues come up, how they sort of tend to take notice and they're kind of hesitant to speak. But you can tell they're listening. And the room goes quiet. And as long as you say words like church and prayer and blessings and God, everything's okay, isn't it? Everything's okay. But the moment someone mentions Jesus or blood or sin or hell, things get tense. And people get upset. And they don't like to hear that. Why is that? Why is it people get all kind of crazy and weird acting when you start mentioning the name of Jesus in mixed company? Well, the answer is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And folks, that's why people get crazy when you mention the name of Jesus. Amen. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You see, Satan does everything he can to try to keep that name from coming out of your mouth. Or through your phone in a text, or an email, or a post on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Anything but Jesus. You can put your church name up there. You can put "God bless you." Nobody cares. You mention the name of Jesus and get ready. Fight's coming. The fight is coming. Only in the name of Jesus is salvation found, and that is why Satan attacks the church, because he wants to silence the gospel. Our outreach has been going great. Appreciate Brother Dan and everything he's doing there. Our vacation Bible school, we almost had 200 people enrolled. It was awesome. Had young people saved. We're going to baptize Miss Taylor Haley here at the end of the service. Everything's going great, folks. But Satan tries to silence the gospel. And he's going to continue to try to do that. The attack is coming, so be ready. So let's be praying and let's be watching for the enemy. Because if Satan cannot silence the gospel, the second thing he'll try is Satan will try to corrupt the church. He'll try to corrupt the church. Look there in Acts chapter 5, very familiar story. I'll read the first 11 verses there in Acts chapter 5. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." Folks, if Satan can't silence the gospel, he'll try to corrupt the church. Acts chapter 5. You see, in verse 1, it starts with B-U-T. That's a little word called but. And the buts in the Bible always show us a change in the story. Everything was awesome. People have been, joined the church. The Bible says the church was just not adding souls. What's the Bible say? The Bible says the church was multiplying in souls. They just wasn't adding, it was multiplying. Hey, addition is great, amen? But multiplying is a million times better. Let me put it like this. Would you rather have $10 added to your paycheck, or would you rather have your paycheck multiplied by 10? That's what was happening in the church. They weren't adding, they were multiplying. You see, souls were being multiplied in the early church. And any time God moves, Satan moves. And most of the time it comes from within. What had happened here in Acts chapter 5, a very esteemed man in the church by the name of Barnabas. There had been some issues, they needed some money. Barnabas said, I'll sell some land and cover all the expenses. So that's what Barnabas did. He sold his land, gave all the money to the church to help out with those expenses. And thus far, Satan had been unable to conquer the church. So he said, you know what? I'll just try to corrupt it. And a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, her name meant beautiful, by the way, they wanted some of the attention that Barnabas had received. So they decided to sell some property as well. Nothing wrong with that up to this point. But this is what happened. They had a conversation one night in their home and decided to keep some of the money. They decided to lie. And that discussion was heard in heaven, just like all the conversations we have in our homes. They're all heard in heaven, folks. And God did not like what he heard. And they were under absolutely no pressure to give anything. They didn't have to sell their land. They could have sold it and gave half. They could have gave 10%. They could have done whatever. So there was no reason to lie. No reason to lie whatsoever. Listen, I heard Dr. John Phillips say this one time. He said, the Holy Spirit wants our all. He will use, however, whatever we give. But for us to pretend that we're more holy, more dedicated, or more spiritual than we are, is a sin against him. And that's exactly what this couple had done. You see, that kind of sin is deception inspired by Satan. If you look in your Bible, you know that Satan used corruption to destroy Samson and David and Solomon and Achan with his sin in the camp when Joshua was trying to overcome his enemies. Corruption in the church. The story of Ananias and Sapphira should educate us on God's demand for holiness. We cannot tolerate corruption in our churches. Any seeds of this deadly sin has to be taken care of quickly and clearly. And the first step in doing that, ladies and gentlemen, this morning is to get rid of any corruption in our own hearts. That's the first thing you have to do. Because if not, it's always there, just waiting for an opportunity. You see, we must preach the holiness of God. We must preach His judgment on sin and all the good news that goes with that. Amen? You see, if Satan cannot silence the message, he will try to corrupt those that have the message. Amen? I don't know if I mentioned this or not before, but regardless of where you stand, back in the 1980s, Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker were doing great things for the Lord. Amen? They were. But Satan corrupted them. And ever since that time, the church in our country has been on a downhill slide. They took the two greatest men that we knew, see them on TV, seen them preaching these big, big auditoriums, big, big football fields, big stadiums, 80, 90, 100,000 people coming out. And Satan got them. He corrupted them. He corrupted them. And ever since then, it's been going on. If Satan cannot silence the gospel, or if he cannot corrupt the church, he'll try one more thing. The third thing is this. It's found in Acts chapter 6. Satan will try to distract the people. He will try to distract the people. Look there at Acts chapter 6. I'll start there at verse 1, read down to verse 7. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Now you see, Satan here in Acts chapter 6, he tried to distract the people. There were some widow ladies that were not being taken care of properly, so an issue was made about it, and the disciples said, "Well, we don't have time to do that. Let us get some men that can take care of that." And this is where we get our deacons from, right here. And so as Satan was trying to distract the people, God said, "I have an answer for that." And God took care of it. And there we look there at verse 7, and then we see that the number of the disciples multiplied again. Amen. You see, folks, this is what Satan tries to do. Everything is great at church. Everything's going well. And Satan will bring up something to try to distract you. He'll try to distract you with something. You see, this is a good example. When a church begins to grow, there's always divisions within the church. And I don't say that in a negative sense. It just happens. Amen? Because you have the group that's been there and established, and then you have all these new people coming in, and they're trying to dig in and get acquainted and belong, and they're trying to help and to serve. Right? And there's just a little wall there, if you will. And every church I've ever been in has those people. And when I say those people, this is what Brother Chad means when I say those people. Every church has those people that say this: "We've always done it that way." We've always done that. You know what that slogan is? That's the rally cry of a dying church. "We've always done it that way." Listen, it's wonderful to remember the past. It's wonderful to respect the past. But it's always a bad idea to live in the past. Always a bad idea to do that. You see, issues may come up and they need attention, and if it's not taken care of quickly, it becomes a distraction. It might be the music service. It might be the youth. It might be whatever you want to talk about. But if it's handled in a timely fashion, everything's okay. You know, everybody be taken care of. You see, this early church here in Acts chapter 6, we read of this issue that come up that could have been a major concern. Could have been a big deal and a huge distraction, but it turned out just fine. And you say, well, what about church complaints? What about that? Hey, listen, I'm not a perfect person. You know what though? Neither any of you. And there's no such thing as a perfect church. And so complaints are going to come up. Things are going to happen. That's just part of life. And sometimes they require direct action. Amen. And sometimes not. Sometimes they just go away. A brother brought something to my attention this morning, and I let him speak his mind. I said, you know what, brother, that's my fault. What happened, that's my fault. I'll try to do better. You know? So things happen. Things happen. I need to get here a little earlier and get some things done to make things flow like they should be. That's my fault. You see? But the modern church, we have a lot more distractions to deal with than just some widow ladies being left out of the daily ministrations. Amen? That'd be pretty easy to deal with if that's the only distraction we had. But it was a big deal back then. And oh, folks, we can get distracted, can't we? Oh, we can waste 30 minutes at a business meeting deciding what color rug we're going to put in the bathroom. I'll let everybody stop laughing before I continue. But it's the truth, isn't it? Now, I'm not as smart as these motion guys in here, but I really don't think that God would have us waste time deciding on the color of a rug in the bathroom. And that's not happened here. I'm just giving you an explanation. And I've never been in any church where that happened, but I've been in some churches where things like that kind of come up. Mike's laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. Some of you are smiling at me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Folks, that is what Satan tries. He tries to distract us on things that don't matter. We are supposed to pray. Amen. We are supposed to evangelize. And we're supposed to disciple and go about our business. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. And anything that doesn't pertain to those three things, we are being distracted. Simple, you know, it's as simple as that. But the devil loves it when we say we believe and then put everything in our lives before God. We get distracted. A.W. Tozer said it like this. He said, if we look at the world, I will conform to ways of the world. If I look at the Word, I will conform to the will of God. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, that means look on Him with a gaze. Look on Him with a steadfast gaze. I won't get distracted. Won't get distracted. I hear people all the time in churches everywhere I've ever been, they talk about, I'm so afraid this is going to happen. I'm scared to death this may happen. And you know what I find out? I find out that nowhere in the Bible do I see that a child of God should fear anything. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. So if we've got fear in our minds and fear in our hearts, it's not coming from God. So where's it coming from? It's coming from Satan. He's trying to distract us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know about you, but it's awful difficult to walk around in fear and have a sound mind at the same time. Amen? Amen. It is impossible to do that. You cannot walk around with both those ideas in your mind. Listen, I notice that a lot of people, they're way too concerned about how they might die and not nearly concerned enough about what's going to happen when they die. Amen?
Yeah.
Think about that one. Think about that one for just a second. You see, a person does not get right with God after they die.
Nope.
Mm-mm. If you want to die right, folks, you need to live right.
Amen.
Amen. That's a lie, and there's no such thing as purgatory. No such thing as purgatory whatsoever. A soul is saved when you are alive and on this side of the grave, or it doesn't get saved at all. There's no second chances after you die. That's it. It's right now. It's now. The God we serve is bigger than anything you fear this morning.
Amen.
Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
Man, if we just need to get a hold of that. Stop being so distracted. Now listen, does it make any sense that we trust Jesus for the salvation of our souls, but yet now we treat Him like He's useless in our day-to-day lives? Folks, that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. When we get all fear and get upset, listen, instead of all the distracting, we should be trusting. That's what we should be doing. Satan has us right where he wants us if we're distracted by all these little insignificant things we can't control. That's where he wants us. So let me challenge everyone this morning. I taught this week the adult Bible school class, and we talked about faith. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that's a life verse for a lot of people. And we know that verse. Didn't have to put it up on the screen, but I appreciate that you're doing it, James. Listen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Tim Tebow used to wear that on his eye black when he was playing quarterback at Florida. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Listen, what are you trusting God for right now? I'm not talking about your food. I'm not talking about shelter, clothing, job security. What are you trusting God for right now that God would have to perform a miracle to make it happen in your life? What are you trusting Him for right now? What are you trusting God for right now? Listen, it is one thing to believe in God. Amen? It's an entirely different to believe God. Amen? Did you hear me? It's one thing to believe in God. It's an entirely different matter to believe God. It's two different things. If Jesus invested His blood, His rich, royal, precious blood in the church, and He did. This is His blood-bought bride that you're assembling with this morning. And it's not this beautiful building, it's the people in the pews. If Jesus invested His blood in this church, we should invest the best of our time, energy, and resources and not get distracted. Amen? God is ready to move heaven and earth to complete the plans that He has for Clear Fork. Or whatever church you're a member of. Amen. Thank you for coming if you're a visitor this morning. God is ready to move heaven and earth to do that. But we cannot let Satan silence the gospel. We can't let him corrupt our churches. And folks, we can't let our people get distracted. You see, the church is the center of everything that God is doing in this community and the entire world. And if Satan can do anything to stop that, he will. Church should be more than just an event you attend on Sunday morning. It should be a family you belong to. It should be a place where you have your deepest relationships and the area of your life where you are most committed. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just shared with you Satan's plan for Clear Fork. I'm going to have Mary Ann come and Brother Lance is going to take care of the invitation for us this morning. Everybody believe that verse is on the screen. Do you believe in the Word of God or do you believe in the Word of God? It's totally different things. Amen. I want everybody to stand and die together with us. Father, we thank you so much for your Word this morning. Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, He's here. Lord, He's been with men and women, boys and girls, all over the nation. Father, I know that there are people here that's
and trust Christ as Savior. Lord, they may never repent of their sin, never place their faith in Jesus as the Lord. And Father, my urge and appeal to them is that that's the only way to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said Jesus. And so, Lord, this morning, if there's anybody here that needs to be saved, we extend this invitation to them. They come forth with their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, there may be some people here that have been saved and never baptized. Father, we pray for them. That's your first command. That's the first ordinance of the New Testament church. Be baptized after salvation. We pray for those people. Father, there may be some people here that are looking for a church. They're looking for a church. Remember somewhere they need a fresh start. Father, we love to have them here. We pray for those people. But Lord, this morning, the message was truly centered for those here Christians. Father, I know several here this morning are distracted. They're distracted. Lord, there's things going on that really don't mean much in the grand scheme of things. And they're distracted. My prayer is that their eyes will be focused back on them. Father, I pray this morning that if there are any seeds of corruption in anybody's heart, Father, I pray that you make them aware of that and that they repent, get that taken care of, confess, Lord, get that under the blood of Jesus. Father, I know that the Satan and his angels are doing all they can to try to stop this gospel. Lord, give us insight. Give us strength. Father, give us courage because we've not been given the spirit of fear. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, watch over us and give us all our sins. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.